Now, it goes without saying that this has been a difficult year for teachers. They've been forced to adapt to the constraints of lockdown, the massive impact on lost classroom time. Many have faced major constraints in terms of their own and their learners' access to internet coverage and devices to work on. But joining me on the couch today is a teacher for whom creative use of limited resources is virtually second nature. So much so that it's won her selection as a finalist in this year's Global Teacher Prize, which is sponsored by UNESCO in partnership with the Vaaki Foundation. It's the sixth time this award is being handed out. It's no laughing matter with a $1 million prize purse attached. And it's all about recognizing teachers who find ways to creatively open up the world of education to their students, particularly through the use of technology. So it's my great pleasure today to welcome finalist Makhudu Cynthia Machaba, who is a foundation phase teacher from Limpopo. She teaches at Polokwane's Nguanamago Primary School. Makhudu, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you and the listeners at the Cape Talk.
It's our great pleasure. Tell us, how long have you been teaching, Makhudu?
This is my 17th year, including the 2 years that I was a temporary educator.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about what inspired you to follow this career. I know your own story is one of having immense difficulties to overcome in accessing education.
Yeah, I personally never wanted to be a teacher. Growing up in a rural area with a system of platooning, going to school, in the morning, the other ones will come in the afternoon, not having enough classrooms. I could see how teachers were struggling on how to handle the overcrowded classrooms. So I never wanted to be one. And indeed, yeah. When I find out that I will end up without a career, because that's what my parents could afford at that time, and they didn't start by affording, because I just pushed myself beyond my limits. I went to do domestic work after my matric so that I can fund my education, because I couldn't afford university. I couldn't afford university studies. Then I went to teaching because I was escaping poverty. That's simply what made me to go to teaching. And the minute I started with the school experience, fortunately, I went to Soweto College, and my first school experience was at a Uville community school. I saw the totally different world from where I studied to where I did my practice teaching. I was asking myself if South Africa was the same country in terms of education system. I just felt in love with teaching, because I knew something has to be done.
That's such a powerful comment, that it felt like a different country, because I know your own experience was one of walking long distances to school, of having no shoes, of having to cross rivers to get to school,
yes.
Finding people sitting on the floor, sharing a slate to take their notes on. I mean, a world away from what you encountered when you found better resourced schools. Now, Makhudu, you obviously saw that there was potential to harness technology to help change that and bring about equality in the classroom. Tell us a little bit about what you found when you were deployed to your first post. I believe that you started out with just a single cell phone for internet access for your entire class. Is that correct?
True. The experience was too difficult, because we didn't have resources at all. And luckily, there was a NGO called Khosa Cares, now called Digital Education Institute, that was training teachers on ICT integration in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And my first conferences that I attend was the iWeek 2009, and I managed to attend my lessons at the Parktown Boys School, where I saw totally different setup.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just imagined how I grew up and the kind of learners I'm teaching. There was not much of the change. And when I came back from those conferences, including the SchoolNet SA conferences, which was funded by the same NGO, Khosa Cares Foundation.
Okay.
When I came back to school, I just looked around. There was no hope for my learners to get such kind of resources because we were still using the very same old system, traditional way of teaching. Then I decided, man, I have my smartphone. I can access internet. I have one laptop. Why can't I do this and let my learners use my cell phone for research, for doing their work, for going online, for collaborating with their peers across the world? Yeah, so that I can empower them.
And from there, I mean, that was the spark that introduced those children in that classroom to the possibility that, that was out there. Makuru, I know that you've lobbied all kinds of potential partners for help, from Microsoft to the government, to various NGOs and stakeholders in the education sector to help improve your students' connectivity. Tell us a little bit about how you've used that access to technology to broaden their minds. For example, I believe you've used the game of Minecraft to introduce them to the concept of coding.
Yeah, basically what I did, I met the Microsoft Educator Community platform when I attended the SchoolNet conference in 2013 at the University of Free State. And when I was there, I realized that there's an education platform for teachers that empowers the teachers. There were online courses. There was a platform where you can collaborate with my peers as an educator, mm-hmm. to exchange lesson plans, how I can do my lessons differently in the classroom. And then when I came back, I implemented project-based teaching. And with my project-based teaching, I implemented a lot of projects for my learners in the classroom so that I can let my learners use their 21st century skills. They can collaborate, think critically, do problem solving, work creatively. And from there, I use apps for them to access their own lessons. For example, we did paper doll where we use paintbrush for them to design their own paper doll on the laptop. And I used PowerPoint to create their own dictionaries. I used Songsmith for them for performing arts. You know, in class, there are learners who are shy. When you ask them to do their performing activities, they cannot just perform at all in front of everyone. So it gave them an opportunity to sit there, create their own lyrics, create their own song, create their own beat. And it was very fascinating. And I saw how much they loved that. And I took it further from that. And I used the Minecraft, which is the gamification, the game-based learning, where they will learn as they are using their own language, they are using language, they are using mathematical concepts, and we can even contextualize lessons based on their own indigenous knowledge. Yeah, and
amazing.
That makes them very proud.
Now, Makuru, all of this must have been affected by COVID-19 and the lockdown. Tell us about how you've managed the last few months with your learners being cut off from you and access to those devices in the classroom. How have you kept going?
It's very frustrating. Now, COVID has showed us another setup, because the digital divide in our country shows how much we are, the resources are utmost important, because now creating my lessons that I will send through the parents as a foundation based teacher, you know, learners cannot use internet on their own without being monitored. Mm-hmm. I had to send their lessons through to their parents' phone, and only to find that at some point the learners are not the ones who are doing the work themselves, but the elders are doing the work for the learners, and then they send it to me. It affected me as well, because I knew my learners were not doing that, because I know how much they are capable, how much they are struggling, how was I helping them, and the psychosocial problems as well. Some learners come from an unimaginable psychosocial background, where they need me as a teacher to intervene, to mother them, to parent them, to give them support. Yeah, COVID has affected us a whole lot.
Yeah. As you said, it's exposed so many deep divisions in this country so rapidly, Makhudu. We are starting to get back towards crawling back to some kind of normal, and I'm hopeful that you'll be back in a classroom with access to those kids and back in their lives as a physical touch point very soon. In the meantime, though, this extraordinary news that you have been chosen as a finalist in the Global Teacher Prize. More than 12,000 nominations received from over 140 countries. What do you think it is about your story that made them recognize you and choose you as a finalist?
Hi, this is very overwhelming. Yeah. I'm out of words at some point because I was not doing this because really I want some recognition. But basically I was doing this for empowering my learners, empowering the community that I'm working with. So mostly, this has been an eye-opening to me, that I'm sending a message to my peers that let us work, let us go all out there and do what we can, and God will do what we cannot.
Makhudu, I know there's still quite a long wait until the announcement is made on the 3rd of December. In the meantime, though, we'll be holding thumbs for you and hoping that it's your name that the actor Stephen Fry announces at the Natural History Museum in London on that day. Final question is, what will it mean to you if you do win a $1 million prize purse? I know that money would be spread out over, I think, 10 years. But have you thought about, have you allowed yourself to think about what you will do if you win?
I even thought about it before I entered the competition. If you check in our country, we are having a problem mostly because of our youth. They are engaged in drug. They are engaged in alcohol abuse. We have a social problem. We have learners who are attacking teachers because they are frustrated by the system of teaching. Yeah. What goes to my mind is some of them need entrepreneurial skills. They need to be engaged in robotics to pick up the economy of the country, to take part in broadening the economy of the country. So basically, I'm looking forward to have a center where the skills will be implemented.
And I really hope that is a dream that comes to fruition. Makhudu Machaba, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, and our very best wishes to you. What a lucky class full of learners to have a teacher like that guiding them along the way. She's a foundation phase teacher at a school in Polokwane called Ngwanamago Primary School, and one of the finalists in this year's Global Teacher Prize. The outcome will remain a secret until the 3rd of December, but we'll keep our eyes on that and let you know what happens when the final announcement is made.